Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning EnviPro call. Today is June 17th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which of course you can do by subscribing to whatever podcast application you use and listening there, or you can go to motivevitality.com where you can listen to the archives. As a reminder, we mentioned this last week that we still have access, you still as a member of MotiVitality have access to about 10 years worth of calls if you so choose, but we did archive them on a separate server. So now if you want to go past 3 years and listen to anything from way in the past, then you need to reach out to us and we can get you access to those. So I'm going to start the call off the way I do every week by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or any questions we could answer for you?
I have a question.
Go, Jen.
I'm wondering, am I the only person that has to stand here with an empty coffee pot waiting for their cat to get done drinking out of the RO water before I can make some coffee?
You let your cat drink out of the faucet?
Yes, that's the only way she will drink water. Like, she can't
go
from her surgery.
So you let your cat drink out of the RO faucet?
Yes.
Okay, so this, folks, those of you listening, is why it's necessary to sanitize the entire reverse osmosis system when you do service. And if you look at the owner's manual, I'm sure that's exactly where you wanted me to go with this, Jen, but when you look at a reverse, just about every manufacturer out there, every reverse osmosis service manual that's out there that I've ever seen, in addition to changing filters, it does say to sanitize the entire system. Most salespeople never point that out. I've noticed, and to be fair, when I was in sales, I did not point it out either. I didn't, you know, I people go, well, how often do you have to change the filters? And I'd say, oh, you know, once a year or whatever. And that's, you know, whatever recommended on that particular unit. But every owner's manual I've ever seen on a reverse osmosis system says that filters need to be changed and the system needs to be sanitized. Now, how do you sanitize it? Well, you run a little bit, doesn't take much, a little bit of bleach through the storage tank and through the system, including through the faucet, because it's not only the water. In fact, on municipal systems, especially where the city probably does a pretty good job of keeping the microbiological contamination from coming in, you're not going to have a ton coming into the system, although certainly you can, especially if you have municipal water and you've got a carbon filter removing the chlorine. There's stuff that could build up, and so it's a good practice to sanitize the unit. But to Jen's point, you also have kids and cats. I don't know if you guys are aware of this. Maybe some of you don't have cats or have just seen a cat. But cats on every opportunity they can get, just right in the middle of wherever they are, just will cop a squat and start licking and cleaning. And some of the areas that they lick and clean, I wouldn't necessarily want to lick and clean myself. And so to go directly, I think I would, though, if I were cleaning certain areas like that, want a drink of clean RO water immediately after to wash out my mouth. I can see taking my tongue and just all over the RO faucet. So this is why we should be sanitizing our reverse osmosis systems. So good point, Jen.
Yeah. To be fair, she doesn't like the actual faucet, but no, it's comical, and I'll probably end up posting a video. It is comical because first thing in the morning she squats her little hand underneath the door, bedroom door, and then she leads right over to the RO And I turn it on and she drinks. And then when she came back from her surgery, that was the first place she wanted to go, was for that RO water.
Now, I have had lots of customers that have told me that they can't get their dogs or cats to, you know, they, once they taste the RO water, that's all they want. You know, I've also had people tell me that no matter, despite having an RO, the dogs and cats still drink out of the toilet. No, but I was reading on that. That's an interesting thing because, you know, dogs and cats both have very solid senses of smell. And, you know, when the water sits in the toilet bowl, the gases and the odors in the toilet bowl will dissipate. So it smells better. So they can, the water tastes better to them. That's why they tend to do that. But you take, it is, I've seen this happen multiple times where you take a bowl of RO water and a bowl of tap water and set it next to the dog, you know, two bowls and let the dog drink out of it. The dog will drink the RO water just about every time. So, anyway, anybody else have anything before we start our topic today?
So here's what I want to say. I want that video of the cat.
Okay.
Because that's getting embedded in an email to send out
to remind people to sanitize their ROs?
Yeah, so I can sell the service.
Actually, listen.
I will post it, Stace, on my Facebook page. I will shame myself.
No, actually, Jen, that's actually a really good idea. I mean, because it is something to send it out, just a reminder, you know, sanitize your reverse osmosis system. Filter should be changed and system should be sanitized annually. That's actually a really, as I'm thinking about that, you know, would that be, I don't see that that's crossing a line in terms of marketing or advertising, because it's true. I mean, people do that all the time. Kids put their mouths on it and everything. Yeah.
And you don't know what your kid does.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kid could be out playing with the dog and playing in the dog poop and then comes in and gets a glass of RO water.
Right. Exactly. So, anyway, any other questions or comments about that or anything else? Okay, well, welcome those of you who joined us late while we're talking about cats and dogs pooping and everything. This is what we learn here on the MB Pro Call. All right, so I do have, speaking of annual stuff, I do have a topic today that I wanted to discuss. This is CCR season. So when I say CCR, I'm not thinking of a band. What am I thinking of when I say CCR?
I know.
Jen, teacher's
consumer
pet.
Consumer Confidence Report, which is otherwise known as the Water Quality Report that the municipalities have to put out once a year.
Mm. Jen, you are absolutely correct. And in fact, the deadline for putting that out annually is July 1st, which means that we are coming upon them and you're starting to see these things enter into the mailboxes or alerts for them coming in people's email or whatever. A lot of companies are doing it electronically, but they are in many cases required to put it in the mail to make them accessible. And one of the things I discovered was sometimes they're twice a year they're required to put something out. So I was doing a little research on the, because I've been seeing some come out, and lots of different clients have seen them. People have called me and asked me questions about them, and I wanted to talk about a couple different things, and I'm not entirely sure the direction that the conversation is going to go with it, because there's a lot of different things we could talk about on this report. I kind of wanted to have a discussion with you guys, but first off, have you guys noticed that? Have customers been asking you about these reports or what they are or how to read them? So one of the things that I'm going to encourage you to do, if you have not seen a consumer confidence report. I think that you absolutely, I would strongly encourage you to find the one for your local municipalities. Find it, read it, study it, learn it, and know how to explain it. Know what contaminants are there, what contaminants aren't there. Know how to explain it to your customers, because most of your customers are going to, you know, they're just going to read over it, and they're going to get to the water analysis part, and it's not going to make any sense to them. They're not going to understand what the terms are or anything like that. And if you look at it and you're fumbling around and you don't know how to explain maximum contaminant level or maximum contaminant level goal, or what the minimum drinking water requirements are, or what secondary versus primary requirements are, if you don't know those terms, that is going to, I think, hurt your credibility a little bit. Okay. I learned something as I was going through and looking at these, that I did not know before, even with all the exposure that I've had on these, and I wanted to share that. And that's the one thing I have known is that no matter where I go in the country and I see these consumer confidence reports, they all seem to be pretty much the exact format. They all start off with saying where the water is coming from, and then how much money the city's putting into the water system, and how great the water is, and all of that. And I mean, it's the same format over and over and over. It reads like a marketing brochure, and I was really kind of interested in that. So there's a couple things that I pulled off here that I wanted to share with you guys. First off, let me read to you what is required by law. This is part of the Safe Drinking Water Act. And incidentally, Andrew Wheeler, it was Scott Pruitt that started, and then Andrew Wheeler agreed. These were the EPA administrators for the Trump administration. They were not enforcing the reporting requirements or the testing violation requirements for most of them. They weren't requiring that or holding accountable the municipalities for that. I remember when that announcement came out. I think that has changed back now under the Biden administration. So you're going to start to see. And to be fair, I'm not sure that a lot of the municipalities did anything different than what they had ever done before. It was such a short period of time. But I remember when that news came out. But you know, it doesn't matter what the law says if there's nobody there to enforce it or to hold people accountable for doing it. Most of the reports that I have seen do have the information that has been required on them. So this is what they say. It requires revisions to increase the readability, clarity, and understandability of information. Requires the increase These are changes that are coming, actually. It requires the accuracy of information presented and risk communication in what the risk communication is. Then water systems serving more than 10,000 people per year, those require twice a year reports. So large municipalities require twice a year. Those are in addition to the normal drinking rules. There are also a lot of regulations coming down for PFAS and PFOA that are coming up. But anyway, here's what I wanted to I found on the EPA's website a PDF that says Best Practices Fact Sheet, Consumer Confidence Report. And this is a step-by-step page. It's 16 pages long. That tells a municipality exactly the format, complete with clip art and images and pictures and everything of how they should design their consumer confidence report and putting it down. And so it's really interesting. It says each community water system provides an annual water quality report to its customers. This annual water quality report is also called a consumer confidence report. The CCR includes a variety of important information about a CWS, including drinking water source, any monitored contaminants found in drinking water, and whether a CWS meets state and federal drinking water standards. CCR is an opportunity for CWSs to communicate with their customers and raise awareness about the source of the drinking water. CCRs also give information that allows consumers to make better decisions about their health. So it has to be delivered by July 1st of each year, but also make a good faith effort to deliver the CCR to consumers who do not directly pay water bills. Fact sheet is intended to help CWSs design their CCRs better. So that's what this is. So basically, it tells in each section, there should be 8 elements. So it's the water system information. So how do they get in contact for it, the source of the water, what definitions mean, that you should have a detected contaminant table, information on monitoring for cryptosporidium, radon, and other contaminants if detected, compliance with national primary drinking water regulations, for example, explanation of violations, potential health effects, corrective action steps, so on and so forth, variances or exemptions that the state or city may have had, and required additional information, such as explanation of the contaminants. So then it goes in and says, what else should you consider including in the consumer confidence report? So a lot of the things here, it talks about them discouraging bottled water and using tap water. And you see that in pretty much everyone. In fact, I saw a CCR just recently. That's one of the things, before we're out of time today, I want to talk about how to address this. But it blatantly says your water comes to you soft. You don't need a water softener. This is on typically 6 to 7 grain water. Your water comes to you soft. You don't need a water softener. And it says... I'm paraphrasing because I don't have it here in front of me, but it says, don't waste your time buying a water filter. The city does a really good job. And that is the one thing that you will see over and over and over. Listen to some of the stuff that it tells you to say here. An explanation of your diagram, so the treatment process, additional information where the water source is geographically located, a brief summary about the quality of the drinking water. It says not everyone...
And I think we lost Kelly. Is everybody else still here? I'm here.
Still here.
Okay. Okay. So that was Kelly that dropped. Oh. So has
I'm
anybody...
Back. It dropped a little bit there. Sorry. Sorry about that. Thank you, Jen, for that. So it says a brief summary of where it comes from. Information... Oh, it says the cost of making, this is interesting here. This is one I found interesting. The cost of making the water safe to drink, including the cost of maintaining your infrastructure so customers understand what their bill is covering. So that's why they have so much glowing, we're great, your water is great, because they have to justify to their consumers that they're, you know, that what they're paying for in their water bill. Information about efforts you have made to promote green infrastructure. A statement from the mayor, saying how much they care about the water, information to educate the customers, and photos to illustrate people enjoying their water or people taking actions that you want your customers to copy. Include pictures of consumers drinking water and be sure to include their faces and eyes in the photo. For example, if you're asking customers to limit the amount of time they water their lawns by using a sprinkler, so on and so forth. But highlight the improvements made throughout the year, information and images about how the water system is protecting the environment, so showing recycling processes, and show pictures of them fixing pipes. Include pictures of your operators fixing pipes. You can also include an employee spotlight, right? So photos. Anyway, So here's the question for you guys. How do you use the CCR? Have you ever had a situation where a customer asked you about it? And this is the final one that I want to talk about. How do we address those, some of the CCRs that blatantly come right out and say, you don't need a water filter, our water's fine. I mean, it's a direct contradiction to what many of us are saying when we go into the home. So what do you guys think? I mean, do you ever run into these? Do you ever see them?
Most customers do not read all the detail on it. The only time I've ever had people really pay attention to them that they've talked about is when they have recently moved to an area. And they realize how crappy our water here is here. And they've moved someplace like from Colorado and their water was pretty good. And they move here. Then they dive into it a little more. But most of them don't. So I use it more to go over contaminant levels, and it boils down to, this is what the EPA says is fine for your family. What do you feel is fine for your family?
So I always, I mean, I appreciate that, Stacey. I'm always a little nervous about using words like family and stuff like that. I don't know why. You know, for your family, just so be careful that when you're wording it, it comes out in a way that is, you know, you're not suggesting that the water's going to hurt them in any way. But I do think it is important to talk about minimum drinking water, which is where I think you were going with that, minimum drinking water
exactly.
requirements versus you know, so the way I always address it is on those types of things is I always say, look, the city makes our job a lot easier. I mean, considering the amount of water the municipalities supply to people, the amount of people that receive that water, the amount of death and illness from microbiological contamination is actually pretty incredible. It's pretty low. So, you know, you got to give them credit. They actually make our job a lot easier. That means that we can take what they have done to meet the minimum drinking water requirements and finish the job a lot easier. It makes it a lot easier for us to give you the highest quality water you can get. So will this water kill you or hurt you? I wouldn't worry about it, but it could make it definitely, you know, there's still room to go. If you got nitrates, you know, the maximum contaminant level for nitrates, it's 10 parts per billion. The goal would be how many nitrates would the goal be? You know, or arsenic is 10 parts per billion. How much arsenic, if you have 9 parts per billion, you're under the minimum drinking water requirements. What should your goal be, you know? If you have those things in. So the big thing I would do is, here's what I want to discourage anybody from doing with these consumer confidence reports. First off, you need to read them, okay? We need to take an opportunity. So there are two organizations. There's the AWWA and the Water Quality Association. And we've had, I've spent some time with the AWWA people when we were doing the DC fly-ins, you know, and the one thing you come to understand is that the AWWA, that's the organization that represents the municipalities, they don't like the Water Quality Association very much. And one of the biggest reasons for that is because they're out there doing exactly what's in these consumer confidence reports. Our water is great. You have great water. This is, you know, we're doing a great job. Look how good we are at doing this. And then our industry, members of the WQA, or even members that not of the WQA, but that are selling water treatment equipment, go in there and they bash the municipality. I think one of the reasons I see I've been seeing with my client on Long Island, so many of these consumer confidence reports that are coming straight out and specifically mentioning filter salesmen or salespeople. Don't let, you know, if they knock on your door and claim this, then, you know, call this number to verify and so on. And that's because there are a lot of companies, not a lot, but a few companies on Long Island and probably all over the country that are taking those consumer confidence reports and circling them with big skull and crossbones and, you know, using them to look at this. This water is horrible. You shouldn't be drinking this. This is going to kill you, you know, and your family. And I mean, they're actually writing this stuff down and you know, really making it as scary as possible, which is it completely contradicts what is happening. Look, the reality is they do a pretty good job. You know, yes, we have infrastructure issues and delivery issues, and there's lead in the pipes, and there are issues, and that's why our industry is so critical. But if we can find a way to take the information that comes out in these consumer confidence reports and find a way to work together, to praise the municipality for the work that they do, and realize that we're not in competition with them. You know, that what we do at Final Barrier, at point of entry or point of use, is not in competition with what the municipality does, not in most instances. I mean, it really is a lot easier to treat city water in most cases than it is to treat water coming straight out of the ground. In a lot of cases, I mean, you start running into issues like polyphosphates, it complicates it and stuff like that. But in general, it is easier to treat 6-grain water than 20-grain water, or water that's been treated for iron, you know, that's already there. I mean, you generally don't have the pressure issues, you know. I mean, it's nice. We should be working in conjunction with them, and we should be viewing these consumer confidence reports for what they are, which is something to be proud of, something to brag about. And we should be working, you know, to do that with the municipalities, not against them. You know, they understand intuitively that they can't get the water the way – they can't make the water the way we make the water, right? So we're not in competition. Final thoughts on that stuff?
So, Kelly, I just pulled the city area CCR, and it's the one from last year. And then two mm-hmm. different places, it actually talks about the water, and they can't be control the variety of materials used in plumbing. And it literally says, if you're concerned, you may seek to have your water tested. In two different locations, they're encouraging it, which is awesome.
Yeah, so that is where – see, that's the difference in the relationship between – you know, I've seen that as well. There's a company, one of the municipalities in Iowa, where they recognize that water is hard. You know, it's like 20 grains, and you need a water softener, and they say it right in there. You got to have a water mm-hmm. softener. And so when they say that, that's awesome. Use that. But that is where you work in partnership with with the municipality, not against it. We don't want to make enemies. We want to get to a point where when they publish it, they are saying the same things that you're saying. The message has got to be consistent. That is, frankly, the way to best serve our consumers. So that's true, too. That is the perfect scenario right there, where you have something there that says that, yeah, you should have your water tested. You know, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, the City of Valdosta is actually a customer of ours, too. We take care of the water going into the chlorination system.
Nice. So see, that's an example of not making it, of what can happen when you're not making an enemy of the municipalities. So any other final thoughts? We're out of time here. I would encourage you, look for your local CCR, get it, read it, know it, study it, and see what's in there so that you don't get ambushed with it when a customer hands it to you for the first time. Any other final comments? All right, guys, we will talk to you next week, if not before. Everybody, please be safe, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks. Bye.
Take care.